from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitine.
Ursula, I saw the company email and I actually opened one of them because I never do. What?
That's not something you want to admit.
Oh, well. So anyways, I saw the email and it said, oh, you're going to be getting a new text line. I was like, wait, what? I was worried all night about it. Well, I ain't supposed to say it? Am I getting in trouble? What am I getting in trouble for? I just want to say what I want to say. I just going to want to say that I was worried about our listeners.
Yes.
Imagine losing your cell phone and you don't have a backup. And then you got to lose all your phone numbers and you got to add them in.
The only reason my eyes were getting big there is because I don't want anyone to hear and only half hear what we're saying and then think that we're getting rid of the text line. Oh, no, we're not. We just have to work with a different company. And so that's going to be coming in the near future.
And I thought we were going to lose the numbers.
Yes.
And then Chef, what'd you say, Chef?
We'll get to keep all of our contacts. So if you've written us in your name, where you live, all that, with the new system, you'll still stick around with
us. You got to keep your contacts, you Ursula.
Exactly.
Did you used to have a black book back in the day? A phone book where you used to keep all your numbers? Yeah.
Why they call it a black book, G?
Mine was hot pink, by the way.
Mine was black. I really did have a black book. I'm being serious. Chef, you're probably too young for that.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Ursula, what's going on the show today?
Well, coming up at 10:33 after Heather's newscast, we are going to have an attorney who happens to be related to you talk to us about the potential SCOTUS decision that would overturn Roe v. Wade. Yes. So we want to get a different perspective on our show. We've had great conversations so far. We hear you. We hear all of you who are also disagreeing with what we have to say. One person texted in and said, economy is always going to be the most important thing. Economy has always been one of the most important things, if not the most important thing for voters when it comes to what is weighing heavily on them at the ballot box. So I don't disagree with that.
I don't disagree with that, and they're right. You know what I also thought was important? United States citizens and those living in the United States dying from COVID. I thought that would be a big deal, but that didn't seem to impact some voters as well. So, yes, I agree. The economy is something that is very important. Let's get to what's new at 10.
What's new at 10?
Okay, so have you guys heard about this? Starbucks is now announcing a $1 billion investment in partner wages, worker training improvements in response to union efforts that are underway across the country. But none of that money, according to CEO Howard Schultz, is going to be going to workers in stores that have unionized or at stores that are even considering union votes. So in total, 30 Starbucks stores have voted to unionize. And I think there are another 20 or so that are close to doing the same. Hundreds of others have union votes pending. So first of all, your response to this announcement by Howard Schultz.
Unions work. And this is another example. I don't know how you want to skate around it, but this is an example of union busting. So basically what Starbucks is saying is this. Hey, if you are not voting to unionize, you guys are going to get a raise. And oh, if you've already started the process, you're not going to get a raise. And if you are already union, you're not going to get a raise. So basically what you're saying is that you had the money all along. But now, since this discussion around unions is there, you decide to give them the money. You see, this is what I also say. When you get ready to go into your employer and your employer tells you that they don't have the money for you to get a raise, they got the money to give you the raise. Sometimes they need a little incentive. So in this case, Starbucks, all this union discussion, there was a little incentive. Now there's a little union busting and all of voila, you have money to give your partners. Isn't that something?
It is something. I will say that there are going to be employees who say, I would rather just get that extra money, get that better training, and not have to join a union. Because when you join a union, that means you're also paying union dues. And I say that as someone who was part of a union here, and we eventually voted to decertify, lost by one vote. There were people who really didn't feel like the union was doing enough for them to make up for the amount of fees that they had. But in this case, Howard Schultz saying, well, we're going to give it to you all who aren't trying to unionize and then not give it to those who are trying to be part of a collective agreement, I'm sorry, but that stinks.
Yeah.
And I guess he has the right to do that, but that does look like union busting.
It stinks not because it looks like it is a threat. But if your stated goal is to invest in the lives of your partners, how are partners in one store any different than the other?
Come on.
Except for the fact that they're in a union.
Yes.
And you're going to have to go through that negotiation with them anyways at some point. I don't know. It seems like bad faith on Starbucks leadership part.
But again, unions work. Because you are raising the pay, increasing the pay, because folks are deciding and wanting to unionize.
Yeah, and I will say unions only work in certain, if you have a strong union. Not every union is strong. There are some unions that you aren't going to get more. And that is the case that what we found here at the radio station.
Can I just say, I'll be honest with you about something?
Yeah.
When I first started out my career, and that wasn't too long ago in this whole radio game, I wasn't really a fan of unions. I for some reason, maybe I had just haven't had too much of a history of discussions around him. I'm starting to like these unions. I am. Because you know what they're about? They're about holding folks accountable, making sure that their employees are being cared for, are getting the right things. And you know what? If that takes paying a little dues, I'll pay a little dues. Okay, pay a little dues, get a little increase here and there. Yeah.
I have a mixed feeling about unions.
Mixed feelings?
Uh-huh.
You got a both sides feelings.
Uh-huh.
You got a right and moderate feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, come
Which
on.
Is generally where I come from.
What you got? What you got?
So I love that they could help you get better wages.
Okay.
For sure. They can. They don't always manage that, but they can. I mean, look what happened to the union representing
the grocery store workers. They just got $4 to $9 an hour over 3 years?
No, the construction workers, concrete workers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Not all unions are that strong. Not all unions can get what they want. If you have companies like, I think I can do without you and I can work around you, your union isn't strong. And
I think most of my experience of discussing unions before news was usually centered around police unions.
Yeah.
And I think
police unions are very strong. Teachers unions are very strong.
Yeah, they're strong. All right.
And like the unions, those huge unions that represent nurses and other healthcare workers, they're strong. It's in it's in the numbers. So right now we're only talking about what? It's a total of 50 stores that have voted to unionize out of how many thousand
Several
that they
thousand,
have? Yeah, exactly. So it's still a small percentage. So right now, Howard Schultz is saying that he can nip this in the bud, and nip, and that wasn't that was not a pun intended.
Is it nip in the bud?
Yeah, nip it in the bud.
Okay.
Anyway, so he thinks that he can stave this off right now before it becomes really expensive for the company.
Who's going to make more money? The partners in non-union stores or the partners in the union stores?
Well, again, it all depends how strong the union is and what they're able to negotiate. But in general, he sees the potential if they all go union, then they're much stronger and they can make much more demands. And then he's really dealing with a force to reckon with and would have to make, you know, meet the demands more than if he can keep it small right now. So this is what he's trying to do. And frankly, I mean, there's a lot of accusations of it being illegal. So we'll see how that plays out. But it is interesting for sure. Okay, you know that cruising is dear to my heart.
Yes, it is.
But I hate to say that there is a big COVID outbreak on a Carnival cruise ship that visited Seattle yesterday. And apparently the ship dropped dozens of passengers off here to quarantine before heading to Alaska. And this passenger shared a cabin with someone who tested positive, but she tells Cairo 7 TV the crew didn't seem to care much about her welfare.
I'm in a room with somebody who has COVID and you're not interested in testing me.
Hmm.
Apparently, they didn't even offer her another room. And this passenger was quarantined in his cabin for 6 days before he was moved from the ship to a hotel near SeaTac Airport. And he also raised serious concerns about Carnival cruise ships.
I've been on 7 cruises since August. And of course, COVID is always a concern. But unfortunately, this ship was so unprepared and so mismanaged that many of us suffered greatly.
In a statement, Carnival says they managed the outbreak on the Carnival Spirit cruise from Florida to Alaska and paid part of the cost of putting up the sick passengers in the SeaTac area hotel.
So they said they was on the way to Alaska and they found out about the COVID outbreak. They said, scary, it dropped off folks right here in Seattle, and then they kept it moving.
Didn't want to stop that boat.
Okay, can I say this? All right. Maybe there was some mismanagement, but I want to be very clear about something. When you go on a plane or when you go on a ship, on a cruise, or when you just leave your house and you just don't, you know, possibility where you don't have a mask, let's be real, though. You are taking that chance. You know that there is a good chance that you could go get COVID. You just choose when. Like, for example, I know that even when COVID was a real deal, I didn't go out. I didn't go anywhere. The only time that I took my chances is when I went to go see my son in the playoff game down there in New Orleans, and then the national championship game in Miami. That was a risk that I took, and I took with the mask. But I knew that there was a risk. Today, there's still that same risk, Ursula.
Yeah, I know, but I'm calling out Carnival.
Oh,
when you find out, okay, so you know that I recently, not recently, it was November. So it was still when, you know, we were taking more precautions.
Weren't you on Carnival when we got COVID?
Celebrity.
No, Celebrity.
No. So Celebrity. Mm-hmm. And Celebrity Cruises manage it beautifully. And they had certain protocols in place.
Okay.
If someone tests positive and you're sharing a cabin and you don't move them somewhere else, you don't offer them another room. No, that's wrong. So you are being told that there is an issue here. And then this other passenger. So it also depends. You've got to check with the company that you're dealing with and find out what are your protocols. Because you're right. I mean, ultimately, it's up to us to protect ourselves. But different airlines, different cruise lines, they also can do things to help minimize the impact and the risk. So I think Carnival's statement doesn't go far enough.
I'll ask this last thing before we move on. What percentage of people that book flights and or cruises read the small print for what to do in the case of COVID?
Probably not very many. However, an outbreak of COVID or someone testing positive, every person on that staff should know what to do. And it's not to keep you in the same room.
I wonder how they knew they had an outbreak.
A lot of people getting sick.
A lot of people don't test these days.
Yeah. But if they're getting symptoms, they have ability to test. They have a medical facility on the ship.
Okay.
But if they have a big outbreak.
Is it mandatory?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you get people sick. You got 2,000 people on there. I mean, there is obviously an increased risk.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, that's why you need to be vaccinated. I would still wear a mask when I'm in crowded areas, even on a boat. But, yeah.
Are you okay with them continuing on to Alaska? Because I am.
Yeah.
Because if I'm on that ship and I'm saying, look, I don't have it. I need to keep going to Alaska.
Yeah. And everyone there is vaccinated. I'm sure everyone there is probably vaccinated.
Sure.
And so if they get something, it's going to be relatively mild. But be warned, though, if you do get very, very sick, you may have to be airlifted out of there. So that is a risk. Okay, we need to bring this as long as we're talking about our favorite topic, which is COVID. People in Snohomish County are apparently being advised to wear masks again.
In recent weeks, Snohomish County Health Officer Dr. Chris Spitter says COVID cases and hospitalizations have doubled. Now he's asking everyone to bring those masks back out when indoors or in crowds outdoors.
Decreased mask usage certainly played into our increase. I would suggest instead of thinking masks optional, we think masks strongly recommended.
As COVID becomes part of our lives, Spitters compares bringing back precautions every now and then to other routine things like getting teeth cleanings. Nicole Jennings, Cairo News Radio.
And we should point out that King, Pierce, and Skagit counties are also seeing increases in COVID cases and hospitalizations. But again, nothing overwhelming, nothing that would require bringing back some of the other restrictions.
I'm going to keep it a buck with y'all. I don't wear a mask no more.
You don't?
No.
Ever?
No, I don't wear a mask. I can sit here and lie to y'all and tell you that, oh, I wear my mask here, I wear my mask there. I don't wear it anymore. I just don't wear it. Matter of fact, I'm going to the airport tomorrow. What's the rules on the airport and mask?
Not required.
I ain't wearing it.
I'm with you. I mean, I gotta be honest.
I'm not wearing my mask.
I got three shots. I got COVID. The sense of relief of finally getting COVID.
Ursula looks disappointed in it. You should see her. She's like,
I am disappointed.
Why? Because I'm not gonna lie. I don't wear a mask anymore.
You're going on an airplane. Although, I just saw like a verbal altercation between people who were masked and not masked. So. I get the reluctance, but I'm going to wear one.
And
then
fine.
You know what? Amongst us three, who hasn't gotten COVID yet?
Ursula, you know what? If y'all listening, you got to admit, that was a low blow by Ursula. Ursula, was that a low blow? That was a low blow.
No, you want me to save that clip?
You just got done saying, I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to wear a mask. I'm going to be honest. I haven't gotten COVID, and I'm still wearing one when I feel it's appropriate. How's that?
You just got lucky, Ursula. I mean, there's a lot of people sitting around this room, right? You know what I'm saying?
I know.
Hey, coming up next, we're going to have the G and Ursula Show legal analyst. My daughter, Ashlyn, she's going to join us. Of course, she's an attorney out there in Ohio, but she's going to talk about the potential SCOTUS decision overturning Roe versus Wade. It's G and Ursula.
To the G and Ursula Show. Happy Wednesday to all of you. As we have been reporting, the Supreme Court has now confirmed the authenticity of that leaked opinion released by Politico, suggesting that the conservative majority court will vote to strike down the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision, which legalized abortion nationwide. And of course, that could prompt about half of the states to restrict or outlaw abortions. And we have now invited our G and Ursula Show legal analyst, one of them, who happens to be related to G, attorney and public defender, Ashlyn Mejia. Good morning, Ashlyn.
Good morning. How are you?
We've loved having you on the show, so we appreciate you joining us again. We're doing great. Why don't you just start off with your reaction, first of all, when you read about this leaked opinion?
So my reaction was, actually, I'm not surprised. As horrible as I believe this decision will be, I can't say I didn't see it coming.
Why do you say that you didn't, you know that? Why?
So for the last, really, particularly in the last 30 years, there's been numerous Supreme Court cases kind of really attacking and stripping down Roe v. Wade. So I'm not surprised that we've finally reached the crossroads where it could be overturned for good.
Some have said that the legal foundation in which this Roe v. Wade stood upon had kind of a weak foundation, if you will. What does that mean? And why would someone say that the legal footing was kind of weak surrounding Roe v. Wade?
So the original case law in Roe v. Wade published by the Supreme Court was pretty interesting in terms of the legal analysis was something that had never really been done before. Instead of focusing on strict scrutiny or anything like that, the Supreme Court in that case focused on viability in trimesters, and they really did their legal analysis based upon what trimester the woman was in and whether or not the state had an interest in protecting future life depending on that trimester. So I do think that was an interesting way that they went about their legal analysis and kind of created this issue now where maybe it wasn't the strongest way to go.
Ashlyn, the Chief Justice has said that, yes, this is authentic, but he also pointed out that it is not a final decision. Just given the makeup of the court and what you read in Justice Samuel Alito's opinion, what is the likelihood that something could change before this summer when the opinion is released?
So a leak like this has never happened before, as we all know. So it's hard to say whether or not they would be open to changing their minds. But my initial gut reaction is probably not. this draft has been circulated for a reason, and it's probably just looking at fine finishing touches. And the Supreme Court, for as long as it's been around, has really tried to exist and operate outside of public opinion. So I don't know that this public outrage is really going to cause them to change their minds.
So many people have said that this has tarnished the Supreme Court, or this has ruined the Supreme Court, because it has been a body that has been independent, has been, you know, basically secretive. And the whole point is that you don't want to push the justices to weigh in one way or another because of public opinion. But now this has come out. Do you think that the Supreme Court can remedy this situation, or can basically the genie be put back in the bottle?
I think that's a great question, and the short answer is probably no, but I don't know that this leaked draft was really what kind of caused this negative perception of the Supreme Court. I think the last 8 years, the Supreme Court has become very highly politicized, when once upon a time it was kind of sheltered away from the more political nature. So I think that was the beginning of many folks' negative perception of the Supreme Court. This certainly does not help matters, but no, I don't think there is a way to put the genie back in the bottle.
You're talking about the Supreme Court. This is the highest court that we are talking about, and you just mentioned right now the last 8 years of. Can you give us some examples that would probably stand out to you that make you kind of, oh, this is going to maybe possibly tarnish the reputation of the Supreme Court?
You know, the last time I was here, we talked a lot about Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, and I think that that's a great example. When she was originally appointed to the federal court, it was largely bipartisan and had support from both parties, and yet when she becomes a Supreme Court nominee, it was largely down party lines, not quite. We had a couple of Republicans vote to confirm her, but it just became a very partisan issue, not so much whether or not the justices qualified, but folks really tended to vote alongside party lines without actually talking about their qualifications.
Ashlyn, I know that many of our listeners have texted in. I've also heard critics and others who say the Democrats are making way too big a deal of this, because this basically just puts it back on the states. Why is this such a big deal if, in fact, this ruling is affirmed later this summer?
So I think that this is a big deal because we have relied upon Roe v. Wade for the last 50 years as protection for women throughout the country to be able to have access to safe and healthy abortion. Yes, this does go on to the states, but we have many states where they will be outlawing abortions either altogether or almost total bans, with as early as 6-week bans. So this will affect those women in those states. So it's very easy if you live in a state where your abortion rights are still protected. But many women in more conservative states rely on Roe v. Wade as their access to safe, legal abortion.
And Ashlyn, one final question, because right now there is big concern, especially among Republicans, about who leaked the document. I frankly think everyone should worry about who leaked the document. In this case, it leaked something that Democrats may use to help them in the midterm elections. But do you believe, as an attorney, do you believe that if the leaker is caught and they figure out who it is, that person should be charged criminally?
So, as a typical lawyer answer, I would have to say it depends. There's a lot of circumstances that would dictate that it probably should be criminally charged, depending on did they hack into an information system that they didn't have access to in order to publish this? Was this marked as confidential when they published this? Is there an NDA involved? There's just so many unanswered questions. Depending on who this leaker is, maybe, you know, it will be criminally charged, but maybe it won't. So in typical lawyer fashion, I have to say maybe.
Man, that's how you be doing your dad, too. When I ask you questions, you be answering your dad in typical lawyer speak. Look, sometimes you got to talk to your dad in like father-daughter speak. Speaking of that, so I was thinking, I haven't told anybody, but I'm going to tell it now. Everybody knows it's Mother's Day on Sunday, but then again, it is also your birthday on Saturday. So my question is this, should your birthday and Mother's Day gift be the same from your dad?
No, it should not. I want one on Saturday and one on Sunday.
Well, gee, that apple didn't fall far from the tree.
Oh, what are you doing for your birthday anyway, Ash?
I'm going karaokeing with my friends.
Oh, Ursula will give you a song to sing. Ursula,
what are your faves? I have to sing guy songs because my voice is too low.
I love a good Britney Spears karaoke. You can't go wrong with Britney Spears.
There you go. Ashley Mejia, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Great perspective.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Okay, talk to you later.
Hey. She's a smart cookie. Oh, my goodness. Love talking to her. She just breaks it down.
But, okay. All right, it's good for radio. You guys hear her. She's smart. But this is what I've learned recently. Like, the longer we keep going with this, like, the older I get, the separate is, like, far, far away to the point where, like, Ash, what does this mean? Okay.
I love it.
This person said that. What does this mean?
Yeah, it's helpful to have an attorney as a relative.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, coming up next, we'll do scenarios. We get an opportunity to judge other people's lives. It's Gian Ursula. Yeah. What a jam there, Nick. Hey, coming up at 11 o'clock, it will be time for Agree to Disagree. And we're going to be talking about the Seahawks and where they are heading November 13th. And we're going to see if you like it or love it or hate it. But right now, let's get to scenarios.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
Okay, Ursula, you're going to be the expert on this topic right here. My wife and I own a small business. I run the company. She's an executive. We have 23 employees. We had our first child last year. It was a difficult pregnancy, and she took a month of maternity leave before the baby. Then 3 months after that. At the end of the 3 months, she felt like she wanted to take more time. So she did. She took another 6 weeks. Then another 3 months. During that time, coworkers started to ask her when she's coming back. She was honest, and she mentioned to one of them that she had abdominal issues and that needed to be fixed, and since then, she wanted a tummy tuck, and she had all of that done. All is fine now. She's back to work. No big deal. Well, another employee is on maternity leave. She's only been here a short time and is not really entitled to FMLA, so we gave her the standard 6 weeks off for her birth. She's due back. Sorry about that. She's due back next week, but yesterday she asked if she could have more time off. I denied the request because her department is already understaffed and she's a key part of the customer service. When I told her, she was very upset. She angrily said that my wife took off a long time and I'm playing favorites. I apologized but repeated to her that her job is important and she hadn't actually technically earned the extra time off yet. She told everyone in her department and now the whole office is upset with me. They even suggested that this girl should sue the company for discrimination and treating one employee, my wife, differently. And there are rumors that the staff is organizing a mass walkout. I have a small revolt on my hands. What should I do? 888-973-CHIRO is the State Roofing text line. Ursula, you're up to bat first.
Okay, so first of all, he may think he can get away with that technicality. But right now, I think it exceeds that technicality where legally maybe she hasn't earned more than six. I'm just thinking about 6 weeks, though, after giving birth.
Six weeks. Could you imagine that?
No, 3 months. I came here with our second child 3 months to the day after I gave birth. And
still not
it
enough.
Was an adjustment.
90 days?
Yeah. But exactly. So, I think he has a much bigger problem because it shows that nepotism played in favor, giving his wife all that extra time. If I were him, I would get all of the employees and say, I understand that you are disappointed. I don't think that he should continue on this idea of you are super valuable and we can't lose you for more. Try to figure it out where you could give it another reasonable amount of time. I mean, just after giving birth, I would say 3 months.
Right. Chef, what you got, bro?
You're going to have to sit down with all your employees and have a very explicit conversation about what your policy moving forward is And I think you owe them a full explanation and apology for what yes. happened with your wife. Because even by the way that you described it, she preferred not to come back to work. And don't get me wrong. I totally understand how every single mother in the world, when they make that decision or they have to come back to work and their time is up, it tears your heart in two.
It does.
Because there's nothing more. Dads also, I should say. There's nothing more you want to do than just be with your new child. That being said, I guarantee you every single person in that office place thinks she took advantage of the system. And she took advantage of that explicitly because she's co-owner of the company and she's your wife.
Yep.
So you messed up big time. I don't know how you're going to fix it, but this is on you.
I got a random question.
Mm-hmm.
Should HR be getting the same paycheck as everyone else in the office? Should HR be a separate entity from most companies?
Oh, okay. So, I'm going to say this, and this is what any person with expertise would tell you: HR is really for the company; it's not for the employee.
Exactly.
As much as they are there to listen to you, in general, their goal is to protect the company.
Right. So, should they be separate?
I think some companies, it would bode well, and some companies do have separate HRs, but mostly they don't because that would be an added expense. And again, who's going to know the situation most than someone from internal? But just keep in mind that whenever you deal with HR, they're really there for the company.
Which way are you less likely to have a lawsuit on your hands? In-house or not in-house?
Oh, it all depends. I don't know. It all depends on what goes on. Here's an attorney answer.
Okay.
From a non-attorney.
Okay.
It all depends on what you're doing within the company. And I don't know that this particular case would fall under discrimination because there were two totally different things. And the CEO or whatever the wife's position is, she's there longer than the woman who's not been there, you know, to qualify beyond 6 weeks.
I guess maybe there's one thing, and that is if you're the owner, you can also say, I can do what I want. I own this company.
Ooh. I'm just so confused with this company's policy right now. We got some people just really taking their time. Other people's not getting as much. But man, this other person just really let it soak in and she milked the clock. This isn't a bazaar. You can't barter this time. There needs to be a more clear policy now.
Isn't a bazaar?
I love
this
song.
This is one of my favorite songs.
Oh, one of my favorite. My sister's favorite right here. I don't even want to leave. This is so good.
We can jam a little bit.
Yeah. Hey, coming up next, agree to disagree. The Seahawks are heading somewhere November 13th. Do you hate it or love it? We'll talk about that next. Jenner Slurry.